Okay, so this great advice, this great teaching has been delivered on the battlefield. And we can see that this is the only scripture that is told on a battleground, which traditionally will not be thought as the nice place to discuss the religious truths. You will think that a temple or some religious retreat or such place, a chapel, will be the right place to discuss spiritual truths, not the battlefield. But friends, that is not the case. The battlefield is where that Arjuna got the intense confusion and needed the solution urgently. And so we see that the person approaches for the solution with real urgency. Otherwise, there is the idea, okay, later on we can see some other time. There is no sense of urgency. Like you don't go to the dentist easily. You know, earlier days they used to be very scared of dentists because all those anesthetic things were not there. So people were really scared. So they would postpone going to the dentist till, and now it is unbearable. For the common cosmetic things, one says, okay, I can go next week, maybe a week later or some other time. So one of our friends in earlier days, he told that he doesn't want to become a dentist, because he said that those days the main job was extraction of tooth and some such works. So when people come with pain, already there is swelling and all, you cannot extract the tooth. So you give them some painkiller, some antibiotic, and then afterwards it subsides and they don't come. So I lose so much practice. The dentists lose the real practice. So therefore, it is, and again when they come, they start feeling the pain, and again the same thing happens. You take, okay, take this medication and then come. Right now I can't extract the tooth, it is all swollen there. So you give pills and send. So there is no urgency at that time. But urgency, when you are really feeling the pain, then there is the urgency. You go to the teacher for the advice at that time. What should I do? And that was the situation of Arjuna, caught in the middle of complete, total that state of indecision. What should I do? I have to take decision now at this moment. In battlefield, when the battle is about to begin, look at that situation, friends, that the rival armies, they had taken out their weapons from the sheaths. They were about to strike each other. There is now no time for a big discourse. A leisurely discourse, okay, we will think about the problems. On next Friday, we will think about the solutions. Not such a situation. Something that is to be done now, right here. And Arjuna asked that question at that time. I am confused. I see on the one hand what is my duty, but on the other side I see that it is going to, performance of my duty is going to cause lot of problems in my life that I don't want. What should I do? And then Lord Krishna gives the advice. He gives exactly what is needed at that moment, but the solution is not based just on the temporary situation. As a good doctor diagnoses the problem, that problem diagnosis is very important. For a cure, you have to see where the problem is, and then you will be able to effect the cure. So he sees that Arjuna's confusion has arisen from his attachment, that there is the duty is to be performed, but while doing this duty, the sense of righteousness is telling him that he should be performing the duty, but he is like all of us, he is terribly attached to all the kids, kin, the property, all that you feel is mine in life. In dealing with various things in life, we form this kind of bondages, mine, I and mine. We make this division, I and mine. And this bond is created, that this is I and this is mine. We get attached to that. And when duty demands that the bond has to be cut, that may not be there anymore, what you consider as mine may not be mine anymore, then there is a big dilemma. So Lord Krishna sees that this is the attachment. And why is the attachment? The diagnosis is to be carried further. Why is this attachment? Because Arjuna's ignorance of what is real and what is not real. The life that is based on this division of I and mine, that is ignorance. You cannot fix the line of separation between I and the world, can you? Where I finish and the world begins is difficult or impossible to determine. And our life based on this division, therefore, is the life of ignorance. In short, he sees that Arjuna's idea of who I am and what the world is erroneous. Because of this erroneous idea, he thinks that he is the body. And all his kits and kin, and that kit and kin is just the body associated or around there. So he feels that I as body will be there all the time. All these, my relatives, my friends, in the this my side, on also on the opposite side, they will be there with me all the time. So this idea is he finds it so difficult to give up, and then you question comes, then how can I fight? Although it's a righteous war, I know that I have to fight, yet there in this army are my close cousins are there. There are my teachers, my uncles, and in the world the relations are so confusing. With somebody you are attached due to your business relationship. With somebody you are attached to that person as your teacher. Somebody is a friend because you go to listen to music together, or you have some other hobby, you play golf together, so you form a friendship that is, the bond is golf, or go to the same pub to drink, that forms a bond. Yes, we, and then you find it difficult that at another point that fellow, suppose somebody is a judge and then has a criminal case, his otherwise he understands is very impartial, but now his son is facing the charges. Now things become difficult. On the one hand is my attachment to the son, my son. How can I punish my son? It is my attachment to my son says that no, I should be lenient to my son. But there is the sense of duty. So there is a tug of war. So Lord Krishna sees that this attachment is because of this wrong sense of identity. What am I? Am I the body? Well, we think that I am the body, and that is why the problem is there. That problem wouldn't have been there if we do not make this confusion. So the first advice that Lord gives to Arjuna, who is our representative, you know, why Bhagavad Gita is helpful to us? Because not only if only Arjuna was confused and we don't have any confusion, then Bhagavad Gita has no meaning for us. But because Arjuna is like us in many respects, who amongst us never faced a problem in taking decision what is right and what is wrong, especially when we are at a juncture in life, that there are many, many ways opening up and I am not sure which way to take. It is a very difficult situation then. So we also face exactly similar dilemmas as Arjuna faces. And so this condition, this confusion, Lord wants to clarify for all of us through Arjuna. And first thing he tells, therefore, is look, learn this, have this understanding, get this message clear that there is the body and the indweller of body. And the second chapter, this message begins that, dear Arjuna, Dehi and Deha. The indweller, Dehi, means the one who resides in the body, and body, the Deha. They are not same. The body is subject to change and destruction. Like it goes through so many stages. You do not get worried when you see a child, a 2-year-old child becoming adolescent, 12 years, 15 years old child, boy now. Now, you don't get worried, how this child became, this big boy. It is a process. Life is a change. It is a process. Similarly, the person gets old. After a time, whether wants or not, has to become old. Becomes 50 years, 60 years, 70, 80, and so forth. So this is process. And this chain culminates in what is called death, that this body falls. Now, while this body was undergoing all these changes, the indweller of the body was the same. You say, I was 10-year-old, referring to the body, and the same I is 60-year-old, referring to the now changes in the body. So, the I has remained unchanged throughout this childhood, kaumaram yauvanam jara. And so Lord says, so next link of this chain now, tatha dehantara prapti. Now this body cannot be used anymore, so dehantara prapti means change of body. You had been using your car, it became old, you had put on 100,000 miles, 200,000 miles, a lot of repair works necessary and all that, put another 100,000 miles, how much a car should take, you know. And then you find the repairs and all expenses are too much, moreover it is not reliable, you cannot take it for a cross-country trip, so not reliable. So you now know that a time has come to change the car. So this body has served you a lot. It did so many things for you. It carried you. It took you on the journey. If you finish the journey, fine. But if you have not completed the journey of life, then the body will have to be changed now. You have to take up another body. So that is dehantara prapti, means change of body. And dhiraha means an intelligent person. Therefore, a wise person does not get deluded, does not get confused because of this, because that person knows that the body and the dweller of the body are not the same. Then he describes further that this indweller, therefore, is immortal. This indweller of the body has no particular space location. See, as body we have a space location. You can, referring to the body, Vishwanath can say, I am at Vedanta Society. But his mind might be thinking of his son somewhere in the New York State, that what is. So mind is there, body is here. So the mind doesn't have a space restriction that it will have to be restricted by the limitation of the body. So you, as if you know that you are separate from body, and then next step you are also separate from mind, then you get free from these limiting adjuncts, and that is where you reach the goal of human life. Because whatever you were seeking, you will discover there. And the beauty of our life is, we seek a goal-oriented life, a purposeful living, that there should be some purpose in our life. So, what is this purpose? If we dwell a little deeper, we will be able to see that we are hankering after infinite happiness, after infinite unending life. We are looking for the ultimate knowledge, ultimate truth. All this will become a realization, an experience, a tangible reality when we see that I am not this limited body. I am not this limited mind. And then what are you? You are infinite. You really are infinite, and therefore you were looking for something infinite. No finite, no limited thing could satisfy you. It is really the search for our real true self, this search for infinite happiness, the search for infinite life, infinite knowledge. That is what we are really looking for. And thus, when we get that, our life is fulfilled. It is a mistake that we confuse what clothing we put. By the clothings, we sometimes identify a person, and therefore we come to grief, or we commit a mistake, a folly. I was calling a person by name, and the person did not respond. What happened? Because I was calling by name of a friend of mine. I thought that he is that friend of mine, because he was putting on an exactly identical jacket, had similar height, built, and so from back I thought, from behind, he is that person. But he wasn't so. He wasn't that. By something changing, we try to identify the unchanging. Now, you know that nice story that two people, they were drunk and then went to get some, buy something from the sweetmeat store, and then bought some sweets. And after buying the sweets, they paid in cash. Now this, the price, the cost was something like, say, $7, and they had a $20 bill. The shop had just opened, and the person, the cashier said, "I don't have any change. Do you have change?" And they also didn't have any change. So it was agreed that the customers have started to come. After about 10-15 minutes, there will be enough change, or he will get change from the someplace. So I'll come after 15 minutes. They said, "Yes, we will come after 15 minutes, no problem." And after 15 minutes, there was a big quarrel going on in the some shop nearby. That was a barber's shop, and that they were, this duo was demanding their remaining $13 from the barber. That, well, you took, it is, we gave you the $7 was the cost of the sweets, and we gave you $20, give us back our $13. You have said that 15 minutes later come, and I will give you the remaining. Come after 15 minutes. So we have come. Give our remaining $13. Said, what? This barber said, "What are you talking? It is, I don't sell sweets. It is barber's shop. What do you mean?" Say, "You can cheat us like this. What do you mean? Before leaving, we don't think that, although we drink a lot, sometimes we get confused, but before leaving the shop, we had marked the shop that crow was sitting on your shop." So the crow, again, now the crow is not going to sit there all the time. The crow flew and sat on another shop. So they their idea, that crow, you see. So they went where the crow was sitting. So it is like that. The changing attributes, we try to tie it to something that is unchanging, and thus the confusion takes place. So Lord says, that your attributes like body and mind and all, they are limited. But your true nature is unchanging, that is infinite, and that is immortal. But because you confuse it with the changing aspect, you confuse that I am this body. Although you are immortal, you identify yourself. Your ID has become now this body. So now you are identified by the body. So the body is subject to birth and death. So you also feel you are subject to birth and death. Really, you are not at all subject to birth and death. So you have to know that, separate this changing from the unchanging. Separate your limiting adjuncts, your add-ons from the your real nature. Body is an add-on, you know. Can be put on, can be taken out. It is a device, just you plug it in and it starts functioning. When you want, you can take it out and put another device there. Actually, you plug out the body every day. Every day, you take out the body. When you are seeing dream, you are not identified with this body. When you go to sleep, this body is lying on the bed. And you see that you are in a flying train. In dream, the trains can fly, you know. It is, you are in a flying train. So, in the, now, what you are associated with, you are not tied up with the gross body now. So, that is, you have unplugged yourself from the body. When you again, in the morning, you get up, you plug the body. Sometimes the plugging takes some time also. And something like a cup of coffee or something. Then after a coffee gets in, then a friend of ours doesn't get the sense of the reality of the world and all, till a couple of cups of coffee go down the throat, then things start appearing real, the connections start getting manifest. So it is that it body is a plug and play device. You plug it, it starts playing. It unplug it, it stops playing. So it is, don't identify yourself with the body. And Arjuna felt that illumination. Wow, that is true. But again, he is our representative, you know. So he gets a doubt, and that doubt is an obvious doubt. This all is appealing intellectually, no doubt. Very nice. But what about my experience, my practical experience? This is just an imagination, some idea that I am getting, and looks intellectually okay. But can this be an actual experience in life? Can I experience that immortal self? Can there be the experience of the infinite bliss that I am seeking for? Goal must be practical, is it not? Only a theoretical goal which can never be achieved in practice, howsoever poetic it may be. The poets, all they have that goals, you know, in the poetry, limited to poetry. that there will be a land where everything will be so sweet, everything will be blissful, nobody will quarrel with anybody, nobody will have a jealousy against anybody, everything will be sweet, nobody will ever get any kind of flu, let alone swine flu, and all that, you get that nice feeling that there would be some land like that, some place. And the poets paint beautiful paintings of such things, the nice heaven where there will be perpetual love. There would be no hatred. A nice place where there will be dancing and singing and all going on, all the time partying. It is all full of contradictions. This place, only poets can think of it. When you try to penetrate that, the contradictions become apparent, really. Like that Mark Twain has written a book, rather one of his more unorthodox books. It is titled The Letters from the Earth. Punished angel has written those letters. The God had sent that angel on earth as a form of punishment. Go there. And then he comes and sees the life around and then sends the letter to his friends. He says there that look at this funny idea that these people have on the earth. They call themselves intelligent. Can you imagine that these intelligent people can construe such a foolish idea of heaven? What is their heaven? Look at this. What they cannot even tolerate in their mortal life here. They imagine it in the heaven that they will get it all the time. Like in their heaven is where there will be music going on all the time. On this earth, he says, I see not too many people are interested in music much. They can tolerate it for 15-20 minutes, half an hour max. Some very interested people, a few like that, may tolerate it for hours. That's all. All the time music, nobody will tolerate. And yet that is what they imagine in their music, their heaven. So, you will see our heaven, idea of this heaven is full of contradictions. So, there comes this question of practicality. The ideal is nice, yes, I understand intellectually, I am infinite, I am everywhere, I am immortal, I am perfect, I have no desires, therefore no disappointments, excellent. I am peace itself. I am ever peaceful. Great idea. Look at me. Is it practical? It seems to be far, far drawn away from practicality. Lord Krishna sees this question writ large on Arjuna's face. Even before he could utter it, Lord gives the answer in the 39th verse of the second chapter that he says, look, what I had been telling you as an intellectual understanding, as a theory, now I will tell you the procedure by which you can transform your life and realize that state. The transformation from theoretical understanding to practical experience. This is a transformation. And one has to work to get this transformation. This is a procedure. It is a journey. If you are told Well, this is a nice, beautiful place. How to get there? Well, that is, you have to take up a journey for that. Nice thing, safaris in Africa, very good to look at, excellent. But if you are sitting in Providence, you won't be able to see that. You have to take up the journey. So similarly, this theoretical understanding gives you the information. Like that nice safari, you get the nice pictures in National Geographic and all that. Wow! You got an idea, an intellectual appreciation. Now comes the question of journey, taking up the journey. You have to take up the journey. Not that it is impractical. Don't think that these pictures are not real. These pictures are real pictures. It is a reality. But to experience that, you have to embark on a journey. And this journey, friends, is what is technically termed as yoga. That which has been described to you as an intellectual understanding. Now I will tell you how you can transform your life to realize this truth. And then the science of yoga begins there. That first aspect of it is look at your activities. This practice is to be first done in what is called karma yoga. That training of our actions. How do you get into attachments? You keep on working with all these desires. Now, therefore, these expectations that you work with, they become bondages for you. Then you keep on expecting other things. You go on working more and more and more. And while you are working, the work is working on you. You get involved, attached, and then it becomes so difficult to give up the work. What will happen to this work? Many people, when they start growing older, they get into this worry. What will happen to me after I die? All these nice things that I have been doing, what will happen to all that? We start worrying about that. I have got these 3,000 great, wonderful books. But after I die, what will happen to those nice books? Nobody seems to be taking care of them. We get attached to all those things. And the books were, everything has changed, you know. The thinking is not there. That is why it happens. Were you for those books or were those books for you? Just the connection becomes opposite. As if you are for those books, taking care of the books, dusting the books. Where is the books for you or you for the books? The connection becomes just reversed. Instead of that dog wagging the tail, the tail is wagging the dog, you know. So it is, therefore Lord says, look, learn, and this is matter of practice. That matter of practice is because it is just an understanding won't help only. You understand and do, then it helps. I was telling just now that the medicine is effective if you take it, you know. Only if you know the medicine, that won't work. Even if you just go buy and keep it with you, that won't work. Even if you sleep over it, it won't work. You have to, Triveni, take the pills, is it not? Then only they become helpful. If you keep it with you, hold it in your hand, that will not be of help. They become helpful only if you take it. So, practical. It is, the knowledge has to get into the system and then make our life work according to that system. This is that practical science. And it is so efficacious in our life, you can verify it. After you embark on the journey, you see the changed positions, you know. You see you are going, you are moving ahead. So in this also, when we start the journey, when we embark on the practice of yoga, the life starts changing. The priorities start shifting. Many things, our understanding starts becoming clearer and clearer. And here Arjuna is told, and through Arjuna all of us are told, that there is a gradation. It is a graded course, not that today itself you will be able to do. According to one's capacity, one learns, gets that training, and somebody can get the training quickly. Somebody may take a little more time, but doesn't matter. We all will be able to train ourselves, and we have to take the steps accordingly. So this is a step-by-step science that was described by what is called the process of sacrifice or process of yajna. The Sanskrit word for this is yajna. The idea of sacrifice is very important here, because moving from one stage to next automatically means giving up the earlier stage. If we want to stick to that stage, then we don't move ahead. That understanding has to be there, detachment. If you are stuck at one step, if there is a lot of glue put under your feet, you are climbing a staircase, and then on one staircase, on one step, there is glue and your feet are stuck there. Now you can't move further. So this is important, giving up. And giving up is joyous there. There is a joy of progress. That yes, I am climbing higher. That is the meaning of giving up the earlier step. So this renunciation in practical terms therefore means renunciation. Let us not get scared by this word. And we have the feeling of renunciation. That means, do I have to take the monastic garb or something? Taking monastic robes does not mean renunciation, and not taking monastic robes does not mean non-renunciation. These two things are completely different. It means that you have to practice this detachment. Practice this, that nothing is really mine here. Nothing is mine. Temporarily in the journey you are associated with something. Yes, you stopped on the journey, you were going by car, so you saw that you are hungry and also your car needs to be fueled. So you stopped at a gas station and also took there some tea or something, and then filled this your stomach tank as well as car's tank, and then started ahead. But if you get there and sat there, did not move from there, then you will, the journey will not go on. So in this, when we form associations with people, stopping at a place for fulfilling some needs, but then we have to move to the next station. It is this understanding has to be cultivated, that we are on journey. No, don't form any attachment. Then the question comes, what about love then? If I don't have attachment, how can there be love? Friends, again this confusion comes here. Love a lot, don't get attached. Loving is appears to be superficially, it looks that if I am not attached, how can I love? Absolutely wrong, friends. Love and attachment are completely opposite things. See the signs. If you want to know more about this thing or the details of this, read Swami Vivekananda's Bhakti Yoga. In that Bhakti Yoga, he shows that there is a chapter, Triangle of Love. And he shows how love and attachment are two completely different things. So, it is loving very good, but in the name of the love, what we really pass is our attachment. So that needs to be separated completely. Love, true love can be there only in the proportion of giving up attachment. The more we give up attachment, the more we will be able to love. Because of attachment really, our love becomes reduced. We do not love because of attachment. Our love is reduced because of attachment. So, it is, Lord says, this progress comes through this practice. Gradually you will see that you give up then all the actions, because they are no more needed. The purpose of action is education. Through action, it is like a workshop, you know, the engineering technical schools, they have workshop associated with it. Why? Because what you learn in your theory class, you then practice in those workshops. That yes, carpentry, you have been told, yeah, this is how it is to be done. But looking in the class on the blackboard, fine. Now, take up the saw and practice it. So, that is this, our work is like that for training, developing the skills. So, they develop the skill of living without attachment. Live lovingly, live joyously, and live without attachment. Thus you then graduate from this school of work. Now you don't have to do any work as such. So the fourth chapter culminated with that. So it was called the Yoga of Renunciation of Work. Now Arjuna has been told this. So Arjuna feels, wow, that is what I wanted, you know, to give up all the works. And then Sri Krishna is telling me to do the work. Why so? Then, so his question starts the fifth chapter. Because in the end of the fourth chapter, I will read those two verses of the last verses of the fourth chapter, and then we will understand the significance of the fifth chapter. That the last two verses were 41st and 42nd. I will read only the translation. But he who has renounced the fruit of actions through yoga, whose doubts have been destroyed by knowledge, and who is self-possessed, O Dhananjaya, is not bound by actions. Therefore, O descendant of Bharata, destroying the doubt born of ignorance of the self and seated in the heart with the sword of knowledge, take to yoga and arise. So that is why Arjuna feels again a bit confused. That this, I was right from the beginning seeking that I should get away from this terrible work of fighting the war. Let me renounce that work and then I will become free, is it not? And you agreed to that, but then you are telling me to perform this karma yoga. This yoga, you want me to get into the yoga. And you are praising this knowledge. Why this? Tell me one clearly. Don't confuse me more. Whether I should be giving up the activities or I shall be taking up the activities. This has the Arjuna's that present preference for giving up the activity. He doesn't want to fight the war. So he says that, sir, let me give it up, is it not? Why are you telling me to do this work? So we will see those questions and also the answers as we proceed in this class. This is a great science, friends, as we learn it, and while learning, as we imbibe and put it into practice, and we can see the transformation for ourselves. It is a great transforming force, and by the grace of Lord, let us feel that grace that it is coming to us through this book, through the study of this book. So, any questions? So let us conclude with the closing prayer, since you don't have any questions today.
Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarayihi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvinesrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantra Tasya Namani Yani Karma Pyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.